celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome, my friend. This hour, we have giveaways. We're going to have a Pod GPS Wi-Fi pet tracker to give away in just a few minutes. Very excited about that. This is the new thing, these trackers.
I know. It's become very popular. I think that's really cool that you can look on your phone, a smartphone, and find your dog. Yeah, see where he's located if he's run away.
When I was a kid, you know, they didn't have any of this technology. You lost your dog, you'd make a flyer. You'd Xerox it for about 5 cents a piece, and you'd hang them around the neighborhood.
Put them on the telephone poles.
So much amazing technology, you'd never lose your animals now.
And you got a free lost and found ad in the newspaper.
Yes, I remember that. Newspapers. Those were the paper things that told the daily news, yes. Right?
Right.
Also on the show in just a few minutes, five pets that are illegal to own with Robert Semro. He'll tell us, I can't even imagine, I'm thinking maybe ferret, maybe not. Depends where you are on that.
But I can think of a few.
How about a sloth? Probably is illegal to own a sloth.
I don't think too many people really want to own a sloth.
What do you mean? I'd own a sloth in a second. Are you kidding? I would love a sloth.
Would you?
Yes.
Oh, why didn't you say something?
Because I don't think you can have them. As I think they're exotic, and I think that there's permits that you would need for them. And I don't think it'd be fair to the sloth, even though I don't think sloths...
I wonder if you can buy sloth food at PetSmart and Petco.
Yeah. Miss Lori Brooks in the newsroom with no sloths in there today, just Gordy snoring away in the background.
Yes, Gordy, yeah.
What are you working on?
I'm not going to ask you to think too much here, but okay. I'll make you wait a couple minutes until we give you the answer. But what do you think? Are pets getting, dogs specifically, are they getting bigger or are they getting smaller?
Oh, I think they're getting fatter would be my guess.
I was just going to say fatter.
Okay.
Let's ask taller or shorter.
Taller or shorter. Okay. We'll have to wait on that. I would guess that they're, I don't know. We'll have to wait.
I've gone from tall to short. I know that.
In your business, Joey?
No, I'm talking about in my household. Growing up, we've had big dogs. We've had big dogs forever. And then the older I've gotten, I prefer smaller dogs. But that's just me. Hmm.
And let's head to the phones. We have Shirley on the phones. Hi, Shirley. How are you doing?
Hi.
What fair city are you calling from today?
I'm from South Pasadena, California.
South Pasadena. We're just talking about Pasadena. Well, so what's going on? How can we help you?
Well, I have a cat. He's about 4 years old, and he eats his fur.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Wow. And then he's got, from his belly on down, no hair.
All right. Is it just on his belly that he's chewing the hair out, or is it other parts of his body?
Well, his legs. All of his legs, no hair. Okay. There's like a ring around the upper portion.
Okay. What kind of kitty? Does he go outside?
We don't know. No. I know it has to do with the heat because when it was cold and in the winter, his hair all grew back. He did this last year, too.
Oh, okay.
And then he scratches a lot and he's got now scabs and stuff. And he's so cute.
Aw. Cute but bald on his backside, huh? Well, I'll tell you what, Shirley, you know, I'm going to say it's probably not heat. But anytime we have a cat that's chewing their hair out, whether they're pulling it out in clumps or barbering it and kind of chewing it and licking it so it breaks off in pieces, number one thing I like to look at is really evaluate for potential allergies or other types of skin disease. So in areas where we have fleas, I always like to make sure we're doing really adequate flea control, even if they are indoors, because if you have other pets coming in and out, fleas can find their way. So that's one very important thing to look at. But if we do see a seasonality to when he seems to have this problem, well, I would really look at allergies as a potential cause. And cats can be allergic to a lot of things. In a seasonal way, they can be allergic to pollens, grasses, environmental allergens like dust mites. So we really want to look at that. They can also have food allergy, but if the symptoms continue year-round, then I might think more food allergy. But seasonal, I'd say, maybe we have a cat that's allergic to something. So this would be something to, whenever I'm presented with a cat like this, I would like to do a couple things. And the first things we want to do is make sure we don't have some infection-type problems that are going on, whether they be parasites like mites or things like ringworm, which are a fungus. So a good visit to your veterinarian's in line to make sure we don't have those things. And that may require they do a couple skin samples, skin testing to evaluate that. But then we need to really look at what's going to be the best way to manage things. And if your veterinarian thinks it is in an allergy type condition, then there's a lot of things that we can do. Sometimes we can actually test a cat for allergies. If you're not really willing to, you know, get into the cost or the steps of doing that, there's a lot of other options that we can try. One of the first things I do is I'd like to try a hypoallergenic diet. And I know I said that it may or may not be that because there's a season to your cat's symptoms, but a lot of this can overlap. So putting them on a novel protein diet or a hypoallergenic diet as prescribed by your vet can be a really good thing, simple, easy for you to control. The other types of steps that we do might be things that are medications, things like antihistamines. So there are some like chlorpheniramine or cyproheptadine that we can give to cats that can be helpful. Other steps we might use, fatty acids, just like we do in dogs with skin disease. That could be something you can use for cats to help manage their symptoms. And then for some cats, we'll look at steroids, either in pill or injection forms, to give them that relief so that they don't scratch, chew, and cause themselves harm. But the other thing that, you know, before we say, oh, gosh, you know, here's a shampoo or a cream or something you're going to use, because in most of these situations, it's something we really need to address medically. Allergies, skin infections, parasites, and believe it or not, some cats will actually do this to themselves in the area you're describing when they have medical problems. And I've commonly found that cats can have bladder infections and chew the hair on their abdomen. I've had a cat with anal gland infections chew the hair on their abdomen, as well as even cats with spinal arthritis. So even if you don't suspect there's something else causing it, talk to your veterinarian, because a lot of times we'll find out, the kitty also has an inappropriate urination problem, is peeing in spots he shouldn't. Well, that might clue your vet in to say, okay, let's make sure we check that urine sample and maybe do a little blood work and make sure we're picking the right disease that we're treating, because that's really the big thing here. And I didn't ask you, Shirley, if your vet had tried anything, if you'd used any medications?
No, I haven't been to the vet with him. The only reason why I haven't is because when it got cold, he didn't do it, and his hair all grew back from last time. Mm-hmm. But this time, you know, our weather goes from so high to so low in the day's time, and it sure drives the cats crazy.
Yeah, well, I think that the good news
is
that
I have three cats, and the other two are fine.
Yeah, yeah. And the good news is, Shirley, that if you haven't tried anything, there's a lot of things your vet can offer you and at least discuss with you. Yeah. But you got to get your kitty in the cat carrier and get her to the vet, and then we can work on trying to get some solutions.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, Shirley, for your call today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hello, Animal Radians. It's Robert Simrow, your Pet World Insider, here with this week's Animal Radio List, 5 Pets That Are Illegal to Own. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Rob, if they're pets, they're certainly legal, right? Well, that's not necessarily the case, depending on the state or the city that you live in. There can be legal issues for having common pets that exist in different states or cities. Let's start with ferrets. In several states and large cities, including California, Hawaii, New York City, and Dallas, to just name a few, ferrets are illegal, and if caught, you could face fines up to $200,000 or even prison time. That's right, ferrets, the court jesters of the animal kingdom, and enough cuteness to power any world, are illegal in certain places. Some states do allow you to have them as pets, but require additional filings, and you must meet certain requirements as well. Next up is gerbils. If you're in California, you may be surprised to know that your state doesn't allow gerbils as a pet, as they're considered a threat to the ecosystem. These tiny palm-sized pets are common household pets in many areas of the U.S., and they're easy to care for and handle while also being social creatures. Next up is the hedgehog, and no, I'm not talking about the video game version, but the super cute, albeit very spiny hedgehog. These fascinating and easy-to-care-for animals have very simple needs and are quite adaptable. They're interactive, yet if handled improperly, they can use their quills to get their point across. Yes, I went there. The bigger concern is that there are certain states and municipalities who deem them illegal as pets and or have severe restrictions, including California, Georgia, Hawaii, Pennsylvania, and more. Let's not forget that there are also a number of fish and snakes that are illegal to own in various states throughout the United States. It's remarkable the variety of these species that are found legally in the homes of people in one state, yet they're not allowed in the homes of other states. And finally, I'd be remiss not to bring up the troubling movement to ban certain breeds of dogs and cats in cities and states across the country. From Bengal cats to pit bull dogs, traditional pets are increasingly under the scrutiny of the legal system. And while this list could go on for many days, I bring it up as a reminder that while you have rights, states and cities have laws. And I'm not saying these laws or regulations are right or wrong. I am, however, saying consider this when you're looking at adopting a new animal family member, and remember that you're responsible to know the laws where you live in regards to your animal family members. Don't make the mistake of assuming anything, or you may find yourself in big trouble and your pet confiscated, or even worse. Share your pet legal stories on our Animal Radio Facebook page.
Check out Animal Radio highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
Hi, this is Paul Rogers.
And Cynthia Rogers.
On Animal Radio.
Just know that it's going to be all right, meow.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately, with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084, 800-478-6084, 800-478-6084, that's 800-478-6084.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. A whole bunch of animals on the radio. That's where we are, with a whole bunch of animals in the studio today. Seems like we have a full house of all kinds of animals. Hopefully you get to bring your animals to work with you. Supposedly, employers who allow animals to come to work find that there's more productivity. I don't know if that's true here at Animal Radio.
I'd be brushing my dog the whole day. I don't know. I'd be like, oh, get your hair out of your eyes. Come over here.
I'd be kissing mine and hugging her and just, come here to mama. I wouldn't get much work done.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to give away a GPS Wi-Fi pet tracker from Pet Trackers. Oh, and I want to welcome to our family. Our family keeps getting bigger. We want to welcome WFNC AM 640 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So if you're listening in the Fayetteville area, welcome. To my left, Dr. Debbie, to my right, Lori Brooks, Judy Francis, and Joey Volani, all here for you today. And if you can't get through, you can also ask your questions from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Miss Brooks, news is just around the corner. What are you working on?
A story about a cat and its owner who had to, you know, she was nervous about her cat's behavior that was so bad, she had to put a warning note in every neighbor's mailbox, kind of alerting them. We'll tell you what it was all about.
Oh, that's wild. That's on the way right here on Animal Radio. Let's go to the phones. Hey, Neil, how are you doing?
Not bad. How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
Okay, I've got a three-year-old female Doberman Pinscher, and when she was 2 years old, we had her fixed, and ever since she got fixed, or ever since we got her fixed, she has had trouble holding her urine. Whenever she lays down and goes to sleep, when she gets into a deep sleep, she just leaks all over her bed. You can tell that in her face. She knows, hey, I've done something bad, and oh God, and you know the deal.
She's like, embarrassed.
Like catching a, you know, it's like catching a little kid that just wet the bed and don't want to tell you about it. She feels so guilty, but of course you can't scold her because it's an accident.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I took her back to the vet, and the doctor, our veterinarian, has given us this medication that's very expensive, and I can't remember the name of it, but they're supposed to give her the pill in the morning when she eats and a pill around noon, and of course, we don't give her a lot of water, okay? Now, whenever she needs to go outside, she'll smack the cowbell. We'll take her outside, and her urine is very dark, and you can smell it.
So how is, now, is she still on this medicine, and is it helping her?
Well, yes and no. It is helping her not wet the bed, but it's we're spending a lot of money masking a problem.
Okay, well, a couple things from what you're saying. Now, the first thing that we'll just wanted to go over is that the female dogs can definitely develop some incontinence issues, and it basically is most common when we hear stories of dogs that are sleeping or they're coming from a lying position and they get up and then you find a puddle of urine. So for that, in a female dog, yes, most often they are spayed. So for some dogs, it can actually be related to an estrogen deficiency. In other dogs, it's just a matter of the urethral sphincter, and it's just not working well. So there are some great options to help pets that have this. Now, if you're looking for a fix for it, you got it, and it's probably going to be a pill. As far as there are some more, I don't want to say invasive, but some more corrective things, but they're usually involving putting collagen in the bladder and injections, and it's really not something we recommend for the average pet. For most dogs that have this, they can be well controlled with medications. Now, I'm not sure which one your pet is on, but there is a couple different ones we can choose from. One is called phenylpropylamine, also known as PPA, and it's usually given 2 to 3 times a day, and it helps to improve the tone in the urinary sphincter. And for a lot of dogs, that may be all they need to control their symptoms. For other dogs, that may not do enough, and we may go into more of an estrogen compound. And those may be given typically only maybe once or twice a week because there's, you know, definitely good and bad with all these medicines. I can tell you, my own female dog, 13-and-a-half-year-old gal, she has urinary incontinence, and she's had it since an early age.
Did it just happen overnight?
It can, yeah, it definitely can. The big question is, and granted, I don't know all the details of your pet's health, but when we do diagnose this type of problem, we want to make sure we're not missing something else because there's a lot of other reasons that can cause a dog to produce a lot of urine and not be able to hold it. And I've actually found a high amount of dogs that start doing this kind of urine leakage. We may treat them with a urinary incontinence medicine, but we're not really maybe always catching the real problem. And I found that some dogs are actually developing they have a kidney problem, a liver problem, or some other disorder, and it just makes them drink more, and they can't hold their urine. So if we just treat for trying to make them hold their urine, we're not really getting to the heart of things. So if your vet hasn't done a full blood panel, I would recommend that. The other thing, and it kind of concerns me when you say your dog's urine is dark and that you're restricting water for a dog that has an excessive thirst. There could be a lot of negatives with that. So before bedtime.
We have to really watch the toilet seat.
Sneak
in there and get a drink out of the toilet.
Yeah.
I mean,
anything that's available.
That, but I mean, it's water, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
so
I
for
feel
me,
so bad because her tongue is actually dry.
Okay, well, you need to get this baby checked out then. I'm going to give you a prescription for getting a blood panel pulled on her, and I would definitely get a urine sample. And the reason is that a lot of dogs on urinary continence medicines can actually develop retention urinary tracts and infections. So we've kind of messed with their ability to hold their urine, and that sometimes can allow bacteria to flourish in the bladder longer. So those two things, I would make sure you get your vet to check the blood and check the urine and make sure we're not developing something else that's causing her to drink excessively. Because definitely, you can create problems if we're not kind of being vigilant with that.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. There's a new study out from the University of Sydney that says the average size of a dog these days is shrinking. And that's apparently because more pet owners now prefer smaller dogs to be their companions. Researchers analyzed nearly three decades of registrations in order to get this information. They were registrations with the Kennel Club, a UK-based dog welfare organization. They found dog lovers are also increasingly opting for bulldogs and pugs because of their large heads. But get this, the bulldog-pug popularity is also said to be driven partly by their big eyes and chubby cheeks that apparently triggers the same caretaking behavioral responses in humans that we adults have towards babies. The study in the Canine Journal Genetics and Epidemiology found the average height of a dog in 2010 was 47.7 centimeters, or to us, that's almost 19 inches. 10 years earlier, a typical dog stood at close to 20 inches tall. The lead researcher on that study says they also found that the demand for smaller dogs has increased every single year since 1986. Pet cemeteries are becoming increasingly popular these days in China, with owners there paying a whole lot of money to bury their pets. It costs between $50 and $1,800 for an owner in China to bury their pets on a plot in a cemetery there. Rows of tombstones at one cemetery, they say, bear the names of many pets, along with flowers, toys, food, and even vitamins and chew bones that are placed beside the headstones. Pet owners who wish to give their animals in China a more formal send-off can opt to bury their animal under the roots of old trees or in a single grave. And like in America, they can also opt for cremation. Well, this cat has got more than your tongue, and it might be kind of embarrassing. A pet cat in New Zealand has been stealing men's underwear and socks from other people's homes. In the last 2 months, the six-year-old cat named Bridget acquired 11 pairs of underwear and more than 50 pairs of socks. Bridget's owner says she has put notes in every single mailbox on her street trying to warn her neighbors, but no one is admitting to missing anything yet. But one day, they say Bridget came home from being outdoors very motherly, then came in carrying a sock like it was a kitten. So maybe that's her attraction.
You know, I'm always wondering where that sock went, that extra sock. Every time I do laundry, maybe we have a sock-stealing cat around.
You missing any underwear, Hal?
I am.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
I just checked when she asked, and it's gone.
You had him on just a minute ago.
You know, it'd be a good way. Honey, I don't know whose underwear that is. The cat brought them in.
Is there something you want to tell me, dear?
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. And over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the Basepaws cat DNA test. And as you know, we have two Animal Radio studio stunt cats, Meeps and Sputters. We got them, a little over a year ago?
Yes, just a little over a year ago. They were 4 weeks old when we got them, and we had to bottle feed them. And they're supposedly brothers.
That's what they told us. We got them from a rescue in Los Angeles, and they said that they were from the same litter. But I'll tell you, one is a little bigger than the other. I'm not going to say overweight because he's in the room. and that would just be rude. I mean, they kind of have different personalities, too. One's more of a cuddler and one's very inquisitive, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and they also have different coats. One is a thicker coat, one is a regular coat. And, I mean, they're different colors, but we all know that, you know, a breed consists of many colors. So I'm just wondering, because I know sometimes that a cat can have kittens from different fathers in one litter. So I'm curious to see if they might actually have different fathers.
Okay, so we heard about the Basepaws DNA test. The primary reason for the test would be mostly to find out what breed your cat is, to understand its personality traits, but there's also some health factors too.
You'll not only find out if they're a carrier of a disease, but if they're prone to get it. I know I had a cat that had a blood disorder that I had no idea, and I didn't find out till he was about 9 years old, and we had to start treating it. If I had known sooner, I might have been able to get him on a course before that.
The reason we're doing the test, of course, is to find out if these cats are related, because we're skeptical that they're from the same litter.
Yeah, but after having other cats, Hal, I still want to know any potential diseases they may have, and I want to know now.
Okay, well, we're going to do the test right now. It looks like Meeps, I think it went off that way there. We're going to get Meeps, the studio stunt cat, for this particular test here. Again, this is the Basepaws cat DNA test. It's about $129 over at their website, and if you use the code ANIMALRADIO, you'll get $25 off of that. Their website is Basepaws, BASEPAWS.com. You're going to have to hold on to him for just a second because I don't have it open yet. Let's see. Okay, so they have inside the kit here, they have a swab and an envelope and a container with some kind of purpley liquid. And I'm going to read the instructions. Okay, it looks pretty simple. Go ahead and grab Meeps, if you will. There's a cotton swab that's attached to a bottle of purple liquid. And we're going to get the cotton swab. Actually, it doesn't look like it's cotton. It may be some other material. Okay, so it says here, swab the cheek pouch for 5 seconds to collect saliva.
At best. Oh, no, it's simple. It's so easy.
Okay. Okay, I got it. Meeps has been very cooperative today. I always say that Meeps needs to earn his keep around here. And okay, so now I put the cotton swab.
Invert it.
Yeah, I invert it and put it into the purple liquid and close it. And did I get it closed? Okay, and then I shake it up 10 times. So I'm shaking it up and down. That was 10 times, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then I just pop it right in the envelope. Close the envelope, and then it goes back into the box again. So don't destroy the box. Good thing I didn't rip that box open. I was about to do that. But it goes into the same box that it came in. Oh, we're supposed to write our cat's name on the box right over there. So I'll let you do this, okay? And then we just send it on back. We should get a report, I understand, anywhere from a month to a little less than 2 months. And that report will have all the hereditary genetic information, the health conditions that your cats may be predisposed to. Once again, you can get it at basepaws.com. That's BASEPAWS.com. And put in the code Animal Radio and you'll get $25 off.
Hello, Sherry.
How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Well, I've got a 9-month-old Yorkshire Terrier who is in heat. And I have some questions.
Well, go ahead. What do we got going on with that heat cycle?
Okay, well, it seems like it's been lasting forever, but she went through the stage where the other dogs wanted to be around her, but I didn't notice anything, and then her vulva started to swell, and she started to bleed very little bit. The bleeding has stopped. Her vulva is still swollen. My curiosity is, will that go back down?
It will, yes, but there's conditions to that. So go ahead. What's your other part of the question?
Okay, the other question was, I have a 20-pound little terrier mix that is male who locked up with her this morning, and he's fixed. And she didn't know what to make of all of it, and didn't know what to do, so we put them in the bathtub.
Wow.
To get them apart.
So that's a crude awakening or a rude awakening, I should say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's talk about this baby's heat cycle. And so how long has she actually been in heat? You said she bled for a couple days.
Yeah, my best guess is that she's probably been in heat a good 16 or 17 days.
Okay. Well, the unpleasant news here, Sherry, is that dogs can be in heat for a long period of time. And we don't really get too worried up until about 6 weeks. So this whole process of discharge and vaginal swelling, all of that kind of can span that time frame. And for some dogs, they may only have bleeding for as little as 1 day, but some dogs will bleed up to 3 weeks. And that vulvar swelling, the vaginal swelling that you're describing, that can last up until that 6 week period of time after that first bleeding starts. So you got a long period of time. And there are some dogs that will have a little bit of residual swelling in the vaginal area afterwards. But it's very interesting to me that you said that you have a male that is neutered and they actually tied, because usually that's a pretty much a hormone-driven thing on his part for that process and that physical connection to where they actually got stuck together. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes. And they weren't moving. They were just staring at us like, what do we do next?
He must be an oversexed little fella if he's already had his little bazonkers taken away from him and he's still doing the deed.
And he's been after her for 4 or 5 days, and we just, you know, kept shooing him and kept shooing him. Well, this morning we didn't get to him fast enough, so.
Yeah, well, and has he been recently neutered, or is that something he's been, done for?
Or he's eight. Oh. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Okay. Well, very good. Now, and of course, I'm going to have to put my little advertisement in for your little girl, is to get this gal spayed. Because
I know, but I want puppies.
I know. I'm not listening. I'm not listening to that, because I'm going to talk about her health benefits. And there's a ton of Yorkie puppies, and I'll tell you that at my shelter, it breaks my heart. I can guarantee if I walk through today at our local shelters here in Las Vegas, I can find many purebred Yorkies sitting in the midst of those cages waiting for a home. So any pets that you add to the pet population are going to displace those, and those are going to be euthanized, because someone's going to want a puppy before they're going to want to take on a pet that needs a home that's already on this earth. So I would have to put my advertisement in for that, but also for her health and her well-being, just to help prevent mammary cancers and a lot of these reproductive complications.
Hey, Eric and Rashi here, hosts of the CBS TV series Lucky Dog.
We're also the spokespeople for the 14th annual Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, brought to you by Phyto Friendly Magazine.
The tour travels from Los Angeles to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption events.
Join us and show sponsor Chewy at the tour's kickoff event on Saturday, August 27th, where lots of great pets will be available for adoption.
To find out where the tour stops near you, log on to phytofriendly.com, and who knows, you just might find your new forever friend.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, and we are definitely celebrating that connection with your furry friend. And last week, we started with Doc Halligan, the weekly once-over. And this is really great because, you know, you can take your animal to the vet, but your vet doesn't see your animal every day. So they can run all kinds of tests, but you're going to be the first person that notices a difference if something's awry. So last week we started with the face, and this week we're going to move down the body.
Right, and again, remember, you should do this once a week on all your pets in good lighting, the same way, just getting a little routine, and make it fun for them. Give them some treats and love them, you know. So, yeah, we ended with the lymph nodes under the jaw, and so then the next would be the skin and the coat. You know, the skin is the largest organ of the body. It's their first line of defense. You use your hands, all right, because you could miss something visually. So then, you know, really get your hands down under their coat to their skin. And you want to run your hand, you know, really all over them, you know, like their forelegs and under their arms and all along their legs.
What are we looking for?
You're looking for any kind of pain response that your pet does, or any kind of bump that you see, or texture that's different, any kind of growth, something like that. So that's what you're looking for. Also, you're looking for discharge, like flakes or that black pepper stuff. That's actually flea poop, which is undigested blood. So when you see the pepper stuff, that means that there is a flea somewhere.
Okay.
And you're after you're doing this, your hand shouldn't be all greasy. You know, they shouldn't have, you know, dogs will get greasy because they make too much sebum in their sebaceous glands. And that can be the sign of a low thyroid. So get a good feel of how your animal should normally look. And
Are there certain bumps that we should be more concerned about, like bumps that move and bumps that don't move?
Well, you know what I mean? A bump's a bump, you know? And I mean, honestly, the only way you can really tell what it is by either taking it off and biopsying it,
okay,
or doing a fine needle aspirate, taking a little aspirate of what's inside that bump and looking at it under the microscope.
Okay.
But most vets will not commit 100% because we could be wrong, and we will rely on diagnostics to help us. Because, you know, how, again, if you catch, how, okay, have you ever, did you see that dog that had like the 50 pound tumor on it?
Yeah,
that got turned into, okay. That started out as one cell.
Wow.
All right. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you wait? You know, it's not going to go away. I mean, they're just going to keep getting bigger. So my point is, get it addressed at early, and then we can decide if we need to take it off or whatever. But, you know, have it seen, because you could think it's just nothing, and it could be something. All right, so then we get down to the bum. And all dogs and cats have anal glands. Mm-hmm. Now, these are just glands that have little holes that actually squirt liquid on the stool as they're having a bowel movement.
And is
to
that,
scent their stool.
Oh, to scent it. Is that the only yeah, reason they're
that's it.
Can they be removed?
They got no use. Yeah, and absolutely, anal sacculectomies I've done in my career, because these poor dogs have these glands that, so they make secretions, their bodies do, and then when they have a bowel movement, it squirts out a little bit, right? Well, some dogs have very small ducts, and it doesn't squirt out, and so it's like a big pimple, and they will actually abscess, and it's very, very painful for the dog, and it's just nasty.
Is that why your dog does the boot scoot and boogie?
They do that, and you know, they'll act really weird. Like, I had a dog come to emergency once, and it was circling backwards, and we're thinking, you know, neurologic, what? It was the anal glands, and the dog didn't know how to
get at it.
Oh, wow.
He was like acting so weird. But yeah, so they're lift up the tail and look and see if you smell anything. And of course, if your dog is licking back there or scooting, you know, take them into the vet so that we can check them, because we can manually express them. Now the toenails, it's interesting, you know, I would say on a weekly occurrence, we will have a dog that will come in with a torn nail, or a cat where the nail has grown, usually the dew claw, the thumb.
Oh, yeah.
Has curved into its own skin.
Ouch.
Because they, you know, don't wear those off. And watch your dog walk. I mean, if you see these dogs with super long nails, it's like a woman in stilettos. and they have trouble walking. And if you hear them clickety, click, 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 that's usually a sign that they're too long, too. And unfortunately, it's a part of owning a pet. They have to get their nails trimmed. Cats, you should be doing it when they're kittens, you know, so they get used to it. And dogs as well.
Now, cats, although, do they have dew claws? Cats don't have dew claws.
Yes.
They do?
Absolutely.
Do they need to be cut?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think I've ever cut my cat's dew claws. Ever.
Wow. Yes. Wow. No, I cut.
You better go check to see if it's,
you know what?
Curl.
They're chewing it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what's probably
happening. They all have that thumb. Yeah. They'll chew it off. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then last but not least is, you know, pinch an inch for the weight while you're doing all this. You know, if you can pinch like a big wad over the rib cage, chances are your pet is overweight, and 60-70% are these days. So.
And isn't it usually true that if they're overweight, the owners are overweight too?
No. But I mean, no, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, there it is. The weekly once over from Doc Halligan. Now, if you missed last week's, head on over to the website at animalradio.pet. Please do this check once a week on your animals. And check out the Lucy Pet Foundation. That's where Doc Halligan's from. LucyPetFoundation.org.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
Hello, this is Jane Goodall on Animal Radio. And I'd just like everybody to realize that each day you live, you make some difference on the planet, and you can choose what kind of difference you're going to make. And hopefully every day you'll try to make the world a little bit better for people, for animals, and for the environment.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
It's like a farm around here, isn't it?
It is.
We've got the dogs and the cats, and then we have the chickens off in the background laying eggs.
Yep.
And soon we're going to talk sloths. Yeah, this hour, sloth love.
I used to love sloths when I was a kid. I thought, you know, you read those books and you just think, what a curious animal.
They are the cutest. I just absolutely, they're adorable. I wish I could have a sloth, but I think they're illegal to own. Aren't they?
And I guess they can't run away, huh? They're not real fast.
I don't think so.
But they got some heck of some nails, so I don't know that I'd want to.
They do have big nails. Yeah, you wouldn't want to freak them out. So we're going to talk to Sam Troll. She's a photographer and she's put together a book called Sloth Love, of which we will have giveaways for you. And that's not the only giveaway we have for you today. We have a pod tracker. This is a GPS Wi-Fi pet tracker for you to keep track of your animals, your dog in particular, and that'll be happening in the second hour today. Also, five pets that are illegal to own. What are they? Well, Robert Simrow will tell you what those pets are in just a few minutes. And Lori Brooks from the newsroom, what do you got coming up this hour?
Well, if you are a cat lover, I used to love this. You come home from the grocery store and you have bags, and you go to Price Club, Costco or whatever, and you have boxes all over the place. Cats love those things.
Yep.
But it turns out there's lots of reasons why. And we'll kind of share that with you coming up in just a few minutes.
I noticed that whenever I spend all kinds of money on my cat gifts, they just like the wrapping paper in the box that it came in. That's what they prefer.
It's amazing how cheap some cat toys can be, huh?
Uh-huh. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good. Yourself? How are you, Doc?
I'm not the doc. I'm actually the moron. You can just call me moron, but the doc's right here with me.
No. Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm messing with you. I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing better than I think my leash is. Got a quick obedience question. Somebody help me with that.
Sure.
Let me share with you. I've always had German Shepherds, which is just fabulous in my book, but a few years ago, we went to the Labrador Retriever, Chocolate Lab. He's a beautiful, great boy. But when we walk, he will pull and pull until he gags himself. I've tried the gentle lead. I've tried the body harness. I think I got a sled dog instead of a Labrador. He's actually pulled my wife down to where she tore some muscle in her knee. So this is really concerning me now because he's out of control and he's a strong boy.
Yeah. So you tried the gentle lead, the one that goes over the nose, and then you also tried what kind of harness?
I tried the gentle lead. He'll still pull so hard he'll start bruising his nose. The other harness I got, it goes around his back, under his armpit, with a little hook in the front of his chest.
Okay. So like a chest lead.
I wish I could put him on front of my skateboard, but I'm too old for those anymore.
Oh. Well, you know, the
such a polar.
Yes, you do. In Labradors, it's very common. These guys have so much energy about life in general. They just want to go. And that
they're
is part
beautiful.
Of their charm.
Yes.
The challenge with training a good leash walker is that our expectations have to change how we can walk him. So as much as we want him to get exercise, if we're trying to train him to not pull, we have to reward him for short bouts of healing in an appropriate manner. So this, I can tell you, I've had labs, and it can be just kind of pull your hair out, frustrating. But yeah, I went through this with my one lab. And you basically have to teach them to just start off with the healing command and just really take one or two steps without pulling and reward. Have the treat positive rewards and really having them even focus on you as you're doing this. The expectations to start walking, going around the block and coming back and asking him to heal nicely isn't going to work. And it is counterproductive because you're just reasserting and he's doing what he wants to do and it's been working for him. So he's not understanding why it's a problem. So when we're teaching a dog that pulls to not pull, we want to reward them for what we call loose leash walking. So healing without yanking on that. And it may be just a few steps. And that's it. And you repeat that over and over and you give positive rewards. And we don't go for, you know, a big trip around the block. Some people for doing that. Yeah. So in, this is where I can tell you, I wanted just to pull my hair out when I had my, male lab as a puppy because we would, my husband would walk the other dog and she was fine. And I would have to stay far behind and just do these drills over and over again. And we did that a couple times a day and we just practiced it until he really got the whole loose leash walking right by my side. Now, some people will use different tools. Like you mentioned, there's the gentle lead harness, which fits like a bridle over the muzzle, the chest harness, which takes away the pull, instinct from a lot of dogs and it kind of turns them where you want them to go. But anything we use has to be paired with the appropriate command and redirection when they're doing something the right way we don't want them to. So, and I've actually even had some good success with prong collars. But if you're using those kind of items inappropriately without the proper commands and rewards, it's not going to get you where you want to be. You know, for some people have a big problem with them. For me, that I call them my dog's brakes. And if they have it on, they don't have a problem. They walk and they mind very well. If I need the brakes because of an emergency, they see a rabbit, they want to run across the road, the brakes come on, but it's just a gentle reminder. But again, if you're not...
And I watch these, you know, guide dogs and the service dogs. I get so jealous. They're just, there's another, I don't know, they're more calm than my kids. That's amazing when I watch those.
So my suggestion for you is going to be to work on this kind of leash training, not to go out the direction that you do when you go for a walk, because there's a lot of excitement that builds with that. So I want you to practice this kind of leash walking in your own backyard on a leash and picking a really scrumptious treat that's going to be a high-value reward. So that may be something like string cheese bits. I'm not a hot dog fan, but some people use hot dogs. Little pieces of cooked chicken. What's that?
Don't take them out. We usually do about 2 miles a day, but don't take them on a 2 mile for this program.
Yeah.
Take them on the backyard up and down the walk.
Yeah. The other thing, if you do need an outlet for his exercise, I have some clients that actually get the little dog treadmills. So you can train him to the treadmill to burn off that energy that you might be losing because you're not yet ready for that kind of big leash walk. And that's one thing. Some dogs really thrive on that.
Yep. I think I'm going to try those baby steps and just, just try up and down the backyard, maybe down the sidewalk in front of my house, 20 steps and 20 steps rather than 2 miles, 2 miles.
Yep. And really, remember.
Baby steps.
Yes. And remember, so if you take two steps and he's already pulling, that's too far. So you build on those good, successful short bouts, and that may be only a couple steps. And instead of, a lot of yanking, you just stop. You just stop where you're at and say heal and then have him come back. So, you know, we don't want to make it a kind of a choke fest. That's not what it's about. We just want him to learn that listening to you and staying close to you is going to be where he gets the payout. You know, I'm from Vegas, so, you know, that's when the big payout comes.
Exactly. Well, I'll definitely give that a try, you know, and I'll try with the baby steps and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, good luck, Mark, and I love those Labradors, so give your baby a pat on the head.
They're still my boys, but thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, Mark. We appreciate it. Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio. Sylvia, how are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good.
Where are you calling from?
Right at the moment, I'm going through Hartford, Connecticut.
You're traveling today?
Yeah.
Okay.
I deliver horse trailers.
You deliver horse trailers? Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I understand you have a horse question for Dr. Debbie.
Yeah, I've got he has an 18-year-old thoroughbred gelding. He's pretty skinny. I took him in. I run a small equine rescue down in East Texas. And I've gotten his teeth floated. He had an abscess tooth, and he's got a couple of teeth missing. And I've got him on that one and only horse feed, and I'm trying to figure out if that's a good feed to have him on, or do I need to try something else?
Okay. And since you've had his teeth floated, he's not gaining weight since then still?
He's probably put on a little bit of weight. I haven't been home to really see what he looks like right at the moment. I pretty much stay out on the road most of the time. My son takes care of the horses.
Okay. All right. Well, if it's not something that we can easily see an improvement after his teeth have been addressed, you know, I'll be honest, I don't work on horses on a regular basis, but dog, cat, horse, pig, otherwise, if we've tried just some reasonable care and that hasn't changed in his overall body condition, then I'm inclined to say, okay, we got to go looking for something there.
Yeah. Well, we've wormed him and everything, and I think it was the feed, because I just started him on that one and only, and it's like a round wafer looking, you know. And I had him on strategy. The strategy was a pellet, and he couldn't really keep a whole lot of it in his mouth. You know, he ended up dropping a lot of feed. So
sure. Well, and you know, I can tell you that, you know, like I said, sometimes when the body weight is not coming up, even though we're on a good diet, there can be problems brewing. And in things beyond teeth and deworming, there's a lot more to equine medicine even. You know, we do blood work on these guys, scoping them. There can be a whole gamut of issues. So I can direct you to, I have some wonderful colleagues in the veterinary world that are online and that have maybe a bit, actually a heck of a lot more equine experience than me, since my horses are very large Great Danes that I deal with. But I would say, if you go to the website Pet Docs on Call and ask an equine question, you will find oodles of veterinarians that are prepared to answer those feed-specific questions and maybe give you a little bit more guidance in that way.
And we'll link to it from the front of the website, too, for others that may want to do that at animalradio.com. We appreciate your call.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Hey, this is Josh DeMille on Animal Radio. Please adopt a pet.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Dr. Debbie and dog father Joey Villani answering your pet-related questions. And don't forget, you can ask your questions from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's a free download. Now this hour, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to photographer Sam Troll. And she photographs mostly wildlife, but she's done a book called Sloth Love. And if you love sloths like I love sloths...
Yeah.
They are just the cutest little guys, girls, critters. And she's put a whole book together featuring the sloth. I wish this is one of those moments. I wish it was television. I could hold up this picture here and you could just drool over it. Like
you would fall in love.
Yes, it is very cute. So she's on the way. We will have giveaways of the book coming up in just a few minutes. Also, we have a guy who has a brand new GPS Wi-Fi pet tracker. And we'll find out what he's doing. And I think he has giveaways for us. Is that correct?
I believe so.
And one of the brand new features that I really love here on Animal Radio is Listomania with Robert Simrow. Always a great list. This week, he's going to talk about the five pets that are illegal to own. Five pets that are illegal to own. I'm thinking in California, you can't have a ferret. Ferrets are illegal in California and New York.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
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 But yet you can go to the Petco or any pet store and get ferret food and ferret accessories, which is...
go figure.
A little strange to me. But I don't know if ferret's on his list. We'll find out with the five pets that are illegal to own in a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Let's go to the phones for Dr. Debbie right now. Welcome to the show, Linda.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Torrance, California.
Los Angeles area. What's going on? I have Dr. Debbie right here.
I have a 13-year-old Chihuahua named Daisy, and she is beginning to have gum problems. Mm-hmm. And I had non-anesthetic cleaning done for her in the last 2 years as she's getting older, being concerned, you know, about putting her under anesthetic. But her gums, she's had extractions previously, too, when she was younger because her teeth had problems. But now her breath is getting really strong.
Okay, just calm down, doctor. Just calm down. She's all red right now. As soon as you said...
And I wanted to know, you know, what is a home remedy that is good to really maintain her gums? She has a little bit of bleeding. If I clean it regularly, I use a little bit of peroxide and water, but... someone told me about the salt water rinse with some baking soda.
Okay. I'm going to have to back up because, he saw me kind of popping my top over here. as far as with non-anesthetic dental cleanings, all I can say is this is one of the biggest hoaxes that people think they're doing some good for their pets, and they are not. If a non-anesthetic dental cleaning is done, basically you get a better feel that, wow, I've done something for my dog because there's tartar that's chipped off the teeth.
Yes.
But the reality is that does nothing for the true dental disease, which lies under the gum line, which is where periodontal disease really brews.
Oh.
So when you talk about odor and you talk about bleeding gums, those are hallmark signs of periodontal disease. So I never recommend people to do awake dental cleanings. In many cases, if these are done at grooming parlors or pet events, they're done by non-licensed personnel. So it's kind of the equivalent of going to your hairdresser and asking her to do an eye lift for you or doing Botox. And truly, in my eyes, this is jeopardizing the safety of a lot of pets because you are missing out on those opportunities to really intervene and do some good to try to turn around that dental status there.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on an older pet being under anesthetic?
You know, it really depends on the individual. I'm a very cautious practitioner, I can tell you that. But when I have an older pet and we have advanced dental disease, I look at the pet as a whole. So I look to see are there other ongoing problems, other health problems going on that might pose an extra risk. But if we just have an old dog with bad teeth, that is not a reason why I will not do a dental cleaning. And I've done dental cleanings, extractions on pets that have horrendous mouths because people are afraid to address that when we have an older pet. That fear alone is just jeopardizing your pet's safety because we're ignoring that bacterial film, all those negative products that are through the blood system affecting
other
organs.
And she's swallowing it. Oh, like she's swallowing all the bacteria every day.
Swallowing, but it goes through the blood system. And we know dogs with dental disease can also have heart murmurs, heart disease, because that bacteria travels to the heart, can cause kidney problems, liver problems, all sorts of things. I could go on and on. But kind of going back to your question, you know, if I had your pet here and I was examining them, if all we found was dental disease and an old baby, I would consider it, especially if we've got a lot going on in that mouth. And there are many dogs that once we address a really nasty rotten mouth, deal with that, extract the rotten teeth, get them on antibiotics, get things healed up, and many times they'll feel better. You'll notice they have more pep in their step, and then we have an overall healthier pet. Mm-hmm. So there is some value to that. Now, some of the things you asked about what you can do at home, the number one thing that pet owners can do to maintain your pet's health is brush their teeth. That is the best thing because that exercises the gums and it also helps to dislodge the bacteria and the plaque products at the gum line. Now, if you got a lot of gunk in there already and there's bleeding gums, oh my God, don't do that because that's already an ouchy, painful condition, and we need to intervene. Then once those teeth get clean, you can get on a real good regimen at home. And I usually don't recommend things like salt. It can cause vomiting when they ingest enough of it. There's so many other better products that we can use that are safe. I could tell you, the oldest dog that I did a dental cleaning on was 19 years old.
Oh, well, that gives me a little more reassurance.
Thank you so much for your call, and give your little Daisy a good pat.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Joy Behar on Animal Radio. Please spay and neuter your pets.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. A luxury apartment community near Grand Rapids, Michigan says it will be using DNA technology as a way to sniff out dog owners who fail to pick up their pet's poop. The Ridges of Cascade Complex, as it's known, is asking dog owners to swab their pet's mouth so that it can build a DNA database that will allow it to identify residents who ignore their very strict pet cleanup policy. The management company, in fact, has already contracted with the Tennessee-based company Poo Prints in order to collect DNA samples of each dog that already lives in the development. It's estimated that about 60% of the apartment residents there do own a pet. So from now on, if a doggy doo-doo pile is found on the grounds of the complex, a sample of it will then be sent off to Poo Prints, where it will be matched to the offending dog and owner, and violators will face a $350 fine. Anyone who has spent time with cats knows how they love to find their way inside of boxes and bags, but there's actually apparently a scientific explanation behind the attraction between cats and bags and boxes. According to the folks at Wired, cats are naturally wired to like small, closed-in spaces. They say it's their natural instinct for safety and security. Also, a cat entering an enclosed space is kind of an adaptive coping mechanism for them that serves to reduce their stress and give them time to sort things out. And they say there is also a physiological reason your cat prefers small areas. Cats' temperatures do tend to run a bit cooler than humans do, so cats prefer a warmer environment than we do. So they kind of seek out a snuggly box or a small contained area that allows a cat's body heat to warm up that small space and keep it toasty warm. A community is coming together in support of a Lakeland, Florida woman who is now fighting to keep her pet alligator, that she's been a mother to already for 10 years. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says she may have to give up the pet Rambo because of a licensing issue. So she has taken the first step and started a petition on change.org asking the agency to allow Rambo to please stay in her care. A special Facebook page, of course, has also been set up to gain support for Rambo, who, by the way, is more than 6 feet long. He's a big boy.
But according to authorities, that is pretty big. And they say a pet alligator that size must live on at least 2.5 acres or more of land. His owner says Rambo, by the way, has never, ever lived in the wild and has already developed sensitivity to sunlight and had by the time she rescued him 10 years ago. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke. So the pets are all part of your life, and make them welcome in your life. And once you do that, they will reward you with a lot of love.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. And about a year ago, I was on our Facebook page over at Animal Radio. It's a great place to spend a good afternoon or two checking out videos. And someone had posted a video of a sloth, a little baby sloth. And that is about when I fell in love with these little critters because I'd never really known about them. You certainly aren't very educated about them here in the United States.
Uh-uh.
I've always dreamed, as many people have, about having a sloth. Wouldn't it be great to have a little pet sloth? Unfortunately, I don't think that's the way it works. I think they might be illegal in the United States. But if you do go down to Costa Rica, where Sam Troll, photographer Sam Troll, is with us. Hi, Sam. How are you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
Very good. Now, you're down there in Costa Rica, and there's plenty of sloths, right?
There are a lot of sloths in Costa Rica. They're pretty much in every area of the country.
Oh, really? Okay. So tell listeners that don't know what a sloth is, what is a sloth? Is it a marsupial? Is it a primate? What does it look like?
It's neither. Actually, sloths belong to a family called Xenarthrins, and they're most closely related to armadillos and anteaters. But
okay.
They're arboreal mammals. They live solely in the trees. They can't live without trees. But they do kind of remind me of primates, but they're not primates.
And they don't move very fast, do they?
In general, no. They actually can move a lot faster than most people think. Like when people see a sloth at their top speed for the very first time, everyone's always shocked. They're like, wow, they can move. And I'm like, yeah, they can move. So they're faster than most people think. But yeah, they rely on conserving energy and being efficient.
I see there's a website associated with your press release here that's the Sloth Institute Costa Rica. So there's actually a Sloth Institute?
Yeah, so actually I first came to Costa Rica and I started working with an organization called Kids Saving the Rainforest, and they have a wildlife rescue center there, and then that's where I fell in love with sloths. But as I was working with them, I realized that there's such a great need to study them more and to learn about them more and to figure out how to release the hand-raised sloths and monitor them after they're released. So I started the Sloth Institute with a friend of mine. And basically the whole goal of the Sloth Institute is to save sloths by learning about them and teaching others how they can save them as well.
Is it legal to own sloths as a pet in Costa Rica?
No, it's illegal, and it's very good that it's illegal because they would make terrible pets. They would
Why is that?
They would be really unhappy. They're happy in the trees. I mean, most wild animals, in fact, all wild animals, they shouldn't be pets because they're not used to being with humans. You're taking them for element. It would be like us sticking you up in the top of a tree and saying, all right, have a nice life. So the opposite would be bringing a wild animal that's used to living in the trees into a house and asking them to be happy. They belong out in the trees, and their diet is very specific. They only eat leaves, and so it's very hard to replicate their diet. In fact, three-toed sloths are not found in captivity outside of their habitat country in general, because they don't survive. They just die because they're too stressed out and nobody can get the diet correct.
Wow, they just don't seem like they're a stressed out animal when you see them.
I mean, in general, sloths are pretty good at being relaxed, But they do hide their stress very well, and that's one thing that makes it tricky when you're trying to raise them and rescue them and rehab them, because it can be really hard to tell when they're stressed out because they have that permanent smile on their face that, of course, we interpret as happiness, but for them, it's just permanently there. It doesn't actually mean that they're happy.
So,
but it does make them extra cute.
Someone like me who just loves the sloths, what is the best way for me to interact with sloths? Would it be to visit Costa Rica or a country that has them?
Well, there are some two-toed sloths in zoos, and so you can definitely go to different zoos and see them.
But he's not going to interact with them, right? He's not going to like get in there and cuddle with them. And
no, yeah, no. I mean, actually, two-toed sloths can be extremely dangerous. They have a pretty bad bite.
Oh, so, really?
If you try to touch one, you could regret it pretty quickly.
Is it that the same with the three-toed sloths, or is it just the two-toed?
The three-toeds are a lot calmer, but again, like since they're wild animals, they don't like being touched.
Sure.
So while I understand the desire, it's not very good for them to do that.
So these videos that I see on our Facebook page of sloths in a cage eating, laying on their back eating fruit and stuff, they look pretty happy, but is that probably an unsavory situation that we're viewing on the video?
It could be. I mean, some of those videos are from rescue centers in the habitat country, like in Costa Rica, probably from Costa Rica. So a lot of those sloths, they're there, even though, you know, they probably don't enjoy being in a cage, they're there because they're sick or they're injured. And so whoever's taking care of them is trying to get them better to then release them. That's what we do. That's the only reason why I interact with them at all, is to rehabilitate them and get them back out into the wild where they belong. But if you do see any videos where it looks kind of like a pet situation, then that could be bad for them.
What is their lifespan?
We're not 100% sure. In zoos, there are some two-toed sloths that are in their 40s, so
wow.
That's a pretty long time. A lot of the literature says that they guess that their average lifespan in the wild is like 10 to 20 years. So they have pretty long life histories.
Well, your book is great for anybody that loves sloths. I'd like to go ahead and give 10 copies away right now. It's called Sloth Love, an inspiring and intimate visual journey into the world of sloths, where you have photographed there's not one photograph in here that you could just not like. I mean, they're all so cute and so adorable. And you did a wonderful job photographing them, too. They look like they had fun getting photographed.
They do. A lot of them see me as their mother because they were orphaned. It's, you know, less than a week old, some of them. So I'm kind of the only mom they knew for a while. And so I think they got used to where they would hear the camera click and think, oh, mom is near.
That's it. We got to get down to Costa Rica. Huh?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely go visit these animals. Sloth Love, the book. Sam Troll, the photographer and caretaker of these animals. Visit the website, theslothinstitutecostarica.org. And, of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. Sam, thanks so much for hanging with us today.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Hanging with us, that's a little sloth joke.
Oh, you did. Uh-huh.
So I throw that in there.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is Animal Radio, baby.
And let's take another one for world's greatest vet, our very own Dr. Debbie. And we have Tim, who I understand has two questions. Do we allow that? Do we allow two questions?
I'm going to allow it. Yeah.
Okay, we'll allow two questions. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking two questions.
first thing is I've got a, well, he's supposed to be a miniature long-haired dachshund, but I don't think there's anything miniature about him. he weighs 15 pounds, so I think they sold me a line as well as a dog. But anyway, when he drinks his water, he gets choked. I mean, he gags and sounds like he's going to throw up and just has a real rough time with it. So I was just wondering if there was anything that you knew could be causing that.
Mm-hmm. And is it only when he's drinking water, or does he have problems with food?
No problems with food at all.
And is it pretty consistent that he does it most every time he's drinking?
It's pretty consistent, yeah.
Yeah, and there are some dogs that we can see this where they start this gagging right after drinking. There's some concern that there could be a sensory nerve dysfunction. So basically, they're kind of not sensing things back in the back of the throat really well, and it actually is leading to them aspirating and choking on that water. So that's a possibility. It's a little challenging to determine that just from looking at a dog. So there is testing involved. However, there are pets that it's more than just that, and it's more than just them kind of coughing this up. And for some pets, they can actually develop some dysfunction with the laryngeal area, and basically where the muscles in the throat don't coordinate normally, and it allows food or water to actually kind of go down that wrong pipe. That's a little bit more advanced of a situation, and with those pets, we can see more labored breathing. They actually may have pneumonia. They may have a different breathing pattern at rest. So it doesn't quite sound like you're in that situation. So I guess the simple thing is that it might be something to look at and to do a little bit more investigation, maybe start with some x-rays of the neck area and maybe have a good anesthetic exam where the vet looks down the throat. Those might be some things to kind of get a little bit better comfort, whether it is something of concern or not. Now, there are some simple things that I would instruct you to maybe try at home to see if this helps to alleviate the symptoms. And if all you're left with is that just he kind of coughs and gags with water and it doesn't lead to anything more serious, then we may just need to try these things. And one would be to try elevating the food and water on a little feeding stand. And for some dogs, that's all it takes, is that just that elevation and little height can make a difference.
Okay.
The other thing you can try is to experiment a little bit and add, instead of offering just plain water, you can actually add the water to the food. If he eats kibble or even canned food, you can just add some of his drinking water to that. And because he'll be eating it, it may not cause that same reaction. And that way you kind of help to minimize some of the coughing and gagging he does at other times.
Okay.
But those might just be some little experiments you can try to see if that helps make a difference for him.
Okay, the second thing was, and this is gross, but how often should you express the anal glands?
Anal glands, it's one of our favorite topics in the vet world. The answer is as often as you need to. Does your guy have some problems where he's scooting his bottom or he has leakage of those glands?
Well, he doesn't leak and he doesn't scoot that much. He does occasionally, but he really bites at it a lot. And
okay.
I know it's
all
not fleas. He doesn't have fleas. And mm-hmm. and I take him to one of the major chains to have him groomed once a month. And and they said that that's one of the indications that his glands needs to be expressed. So they always do it. And that's once a month. And I was just a little surprised that he may need it more than that.
That seems kind of often.
Well, you know, for dachshunds, once a month is actually a very common reality. More than that, I can't say that we don't occasionally have a pet we do more than once a month, but I try to avoid it if possible. Although, you know, I'll tell you, my little puppy, I'm down to like every 2 weeks for him because he actually starts leaking his gland material around the house. So I'm kind of with you there. I'm getting a little frustrated with these glands. But yeah, I would shoot for once a month if you can. But for the, you know, average pet, maybe non-dachshund, I'd say every 1 month to every 3 months. And how do you know if there's a problem? Yeah, if they're scooting, licking, biting at the bottom, or leaving lovely little stinky smells that smell like nasty tuna coming out of a can, to me, that's a symptom that we need to get those.
What causes that? Because Ladybug doesn't deal with that, you know, don't want to jinx it there, knock on wood, but why is it one dog has to have their anal glands expressed more than another dog?
You know, there's a lot of theories out there. Some folks think that it's related to the fiber content in the diet, so they'll try to bulk up their stools to make them not have problems. But, you know, it doesn't always work that way. There are some breeds where we just tend to see more problems. Basset Hounds and Dachshunds are probably my number two breeds that we see frequent anal gland expressions that just need to be done for comfort and, you know, and for owners' happiness. And then, you know, just some dogs, we can see more problems if they have food allergies. They can have more symptoms of the anal glands. So, you know, some of those things we can kind of play with diet a little bit for some pets as well. And, you know, there's that occasional pet we will talk about taking these glands out. And, you know, I may be signing up boss for this surgery if I have to keep squeezing these glands every 7 to 14 days. Wow. So I'll keep you posted.
I didn't realize
you
need to have that done, so maybe that'll be a possibility.
Yeah, you can. And it's definitely, the surgery is not the first choice we have. Because if we can manage something without having to cut out a body part, we definitely would prefer it.
Hope that helps you, Tim.
I appreciate your help. Enjoyed the call. Thank you.
I appreciate you listening to Animal Radio. You tell your friends about it, okay?
I will.
Okay. Right. More listeners we can get, the better I can pay rent. Hey, I'm just telling you the way it is, okay? Let's pile on those listeners. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, if you need to get your fix of Animal Radio, head on over to animalradio.com and download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. And we'll catch you next week for more Animal Radio right here. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
So long.
This is Animal Radio Network.